Perception of the world is a reflection of an individual's attitude. And in order to manage the world, you manage your attitude, namely, know oneself. And Kabbalah provided a structure for doing just that. And I think in Quaker context, this is the looking inward at ourselves. Look inward. We learn to know ourselves. Then we know what our mission is going to be. Whether it's to stop kicking the cat, or to acts of kindness, or to serve in committees here and abroad. Well, that becomes the individual requirement. But above all, the person who most inspired me was John Krishnamurti. I wonder if many of our friends attended his talks. He was discovered in Chennai or Madras by the Theosophists.
He was trained in Europe to become their leader. But at the crucial time, he sort of abandoned the
Theosophists and became an individualist. And I think he spent the rest of his life giving talks and teachings in India, Europe, and in America. And it was in the middle of the 60s that I attended his talks. I think the message that I got was that truth has a duality. For example, we look out at sea and the horizon is flat, but we know that the earth is round. So we live with this two concepts. Or there's no rational explanation for there being a God. But if a person has a convincement of the divine, then that is a truth for them. So the subjective and the objective are both truths. If someone were to ask him if God exists, it wouldn't be yes or no, but yes and no. I'd actually like to read a paragraph of his writings. He's a transcript. There were transcripts of his writings, which were very nice. And it just gives a flavor of his kind of teaching. He says, living, going to an office, talking to your wife, doing everything that you do has tremendous meaning if you know how to look at it, how to come upon it. And to come upon it, to know it, to see the beauty of it, that can only take place when there is silence, when there is space and love. And that is true, and that is the only thing that matters in life. Then you do not have to seek God. Then you do not have to go to any temple or any church. You do not have to be the slave of any priest or of any book or of any authority. Then there is only light. And that light is love and silence. That was in 1965. So anyway, I'll get on to our meeting now. As Kiera said, my meeting is in Wells next to sea, which is a small town on the North Norfolk coast. In England.
It's a harbour town with a fishing fleet, salt marshes, sand dunes.
And miles of golden sands that recede miles out into the sea. In fact, about 12,000 years ago, I believe you could walk across from here to Holland. But anyway, the circumstance of this meeting is slightly sad because it's just been decreasing over the years. The families went, the children's group went, and now it finds itself with sort of up to 15 perhaps regulars, mostly elderly. And so some meetings were held to see what could become of the meeting. And it seemed that most people simply wanted the meeting to continue the way it was. They valued everything about it. And I felt that I was very separate from the thinking, because I don't think it could maintain itself in the present form from natural attrition and its failure to enroll people faster than attrition that was happening. So this is my argument, that Quakers are not a religion or a church. Then it's not a matter of being Methodist, Anglican, Congregational, or Quaker. We are a society with members who apply to join. We're more like the historical society. Some friends practice a religion, but for me, it's more a matter of exploring religion. I sort of like the way that the that this non-theist group has been experimenting and adapting with different forms. For instance, we've had a poet, an artist, and an historian giving presentations. It's always been a surprise. Nothing has been fixed. And I think that's why it's succeeding. Quakers don't have priests.
A congregation, a consecrated church, or an order or service. So why is our meeting house become
a church in all but name? Why the reverential hush in the meeting house, even before the doors close at 10:30? Sort of portcullis is dropped, and there is a conformity that if you are a Quaker, you have to do it this way. Personally, I would like to see the doors left open to the street throughout the meeting, except obviously when there's a heating concern. But I know some people feel that there's a centering time, but this isn't an order of service. We don't have an order of service, and it's not set in stone. So I'd like to see people come and go as they wish. There's no reason to come at the beginning and take it to an end. I don't see why it should be like that. You can imagine this didn't go down terribly well. And I think that silence is something also to be examined. There is the sort of the admonition to have an interval between contributions of spoken or any form of ministry. And I believe the reason for this is so that we listen. But once again, it's not a rule. And I feel we mustn't make it a rule. Sometimes it's appropriate, and sometimes it's not appropriate. I think Krishnamurti says that what is required of silence in its most positive form is an extension of total attentiveness, such that we hear the sounds of the room, feel the air on our face, listen to the joys and sorrows of the world. And if this is pursued, then silence becomes inevitable. It follows it. And that is a positive way, rather than making a rule. And I actually think that silence has its limitation, because if people really want to be silent, they can go to their bedroom or sit out on a bench somewhere. But at a meeting, there needs to be more than just silence. I feel that there needs to be a bigger contribution. And the reason is because the meeting needs to bond. Means, so as well as looking inward, it needs the freedom of openness and of discussion that Quakers allow. And I think we have to benefit from that. And we need to bond. And the means through which we bond is spirituality. Spirituality is a heightened sense of commune with people, a concept, or nature. Nothing more, nothing less. And it's useful and desirable, partly because it prevents our mind from dwelling on idle thoughts. Who forgot to take the sausages out of the freezer? But partly, and largely, in our context of the meeting, it's the spirituality that is relevant. It's through the spirituality that we bond. And it's through the bonding that we support each other. And I feel that that is the purpose of a meeting in the long run, is to be able to support each other. So personally, I believe that Quakers have a distinct way forward if they are prepared to take it, both at looking inward at themselves, knowing their mission, and outward at the world and the situation of society, and being prepared to share this openly. Quakers must take risks and adventure and recognize that faith can fluctuate, change, and develop as part of life's journey. So I don't expect everybody, of course, to open their doors and change and drastically. But I think the point is that we have to make sure we don't believe in the structures which we impose upon our meetings, whether it's into making them into a church with a hierarchy of priests, or into silence with rules, or into some form of order of service. So the questions I have to put to tonight's meeting.
What is the purpose
of Quakers? the closest I came to it was to explore religion together. But I wonder what other people might think, perhaps in four words. The other question is, in order for Quakers to succeed and flourish as a society, we need to make it meaningful, both to ourselves and to people who may want to join. How could we best achieve this? Do we need to make any changes for that to occur? So I put the questions to the meeting. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John, for your very open words and your thoughts on these issues and problems and your own life's journey. There was a little bit of break up of your voice, so it would be lovely if you could just repeat the three questions before we start to discuss.
All right. Okay. Is it all right now, Gisela?
At the moment it is, right. Yes, good.
Yes, okay. Well, the first question is, what is the purpose of Quakers? What I came up with was to explore religion together. And I'd like to know what people could come up with in perhaps a maximum of four words. The other question is, in order for Quakers to flourish and succeed as a society, we need to make it meaningful, both for ourselves and for potential new members. How could we best achieve this? And do we need to make any changes? Okay.
Thank you very much.